Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers for this February. February. What was that? April 8th, 2024, 3:04 of the clock. You got your host, James, here. I shouldn't even admit it's me.
I know.
I should just go by a different name. Seth over here, my partner in sports. Pitch hitting today for Randy Paul. Thank you so much for being here for that,
Yeah,
Seth.
No problem.
We also want to send a shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Big thank you to them for sponsoring the hour. Appreciate our friends over there. Be sure to be listening this Wednesday to the morning show, about 8:45-ish. We'll be joined by Phil Hartley from the Quality Plus Printing with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Wicked, man. Wicked.
We have got a jam-packed hour for you, everybody.
Oh, do we?
We are going to be joined in minutes, about 3:15 today. We're going to be joined by John Adias. He is with the broadcaster, Wisconsin Women's Basketball. John's been there since 2012. We're going to talk to him a little bit. We're looking forward to that. At 3:30, we'll have the fourth period. Joining us will be head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, going to be with us.
Yes, very
looking forward to it. Seth had a great topic we're going to get into today after the coach's interview, probably, about this rash of injuries to pitchers. Want to touch on that. Want to get into the bill that was just passed last week about these prop bets and kids, some of that. We got a lot to talk about here. But first, you guys come first. Let's talk to you. Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
James, it's good to see you made it out of darkness. It's February.
That's how much February hit me. I'm just now catching up. I'm just now.
When you said that, I'm like, wow, I had to look at my watch to make sure.
Everyone's double checking. Wait a minute, did we?
We're replaying a best of episode from February. Yes. How did you enjoy the championship game?
I have to admit, I didn't get a chance to watch the women's championship game at all. I caught the end. I thought it was a class move. South Carolina coach mentioning that how Caitlin Clark is, you know, basically the goat of college basketball, and how she has brought the people that she watched women's basketball, how, you know, how she's kind of made it that way. I mean, I know it's just not her. I mean, they got Reese from LSU South Carolina, that whole team from South Carolina. I mean, I'm sure. No, I mean, they had a lot to do with it, too. But,
it was cool to see that from Dawn Staley, especially because there's some people that can make an argument Dawn Staley is the GOAT of all time. What she did in her playing career, let alone as a coach now, and she's just getting started. I thought that was the extra cool coming given from her. And given some of the comments from some other greats that you could make an argument are the GOATs in Sue Bird or the other UConn player. There was a lot being made of the comments after the game by them. Not just about Caitlin Clark, but about anybody like Caitlin Clark coming out of college and going into the pros. I saw nothing but headlines about this. I didn't get to hear it in real time. When I did listen to it, what did they say? Like, I heard a lot of people complaining about the timing of it and this and that and everything. These are not only former athletes, they're fresh former athletes. Like, it's still fresh in their brains. I heard J.J. Redick talking the other day, and you would think he was still lacing them up. Give me, 20 years and ask him that question and see how they respond. And they didn't say anything wrong. You can point to a handful of athletes in history who make a transition flawlessly to the pros. You ask every one of them, go ahead and ask LeBron James what it was like being 18 playing with grown men. And he looked like he belonged out there. How about mentally? And for other athletes, maybe the mentalness is there, but their game is not there, and they have to adjust. Everybody has to adjust. That's why it's the pro game. Otherwise, the kids will be playing the pros. How can you argue about there being an adjustment? Of course there is. It's more than just moving to a new town and wearing a new jersey. I mean, it's getting, for most of these kids, even nowadays, it's the difference of, I'm doing this because I'm in college and I'm earning an education, and this is my job now.
Yeah.
This is a difference. That's a gigantic difference.
Yes,
anybody who says otherwise, I don't feel like they understand sports nowadays. Like 2024 going forward, sports like that. You're lost. You're in the past. Mm-hmm. Your comments are outdated. It's now and understanding that these guys, there's an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has to do with the timing and how she said it. Yeah, there's going to be adjustments, and if Caitlin Clark can go to the WNBA and score 40 at night. Probably not, but you know, it just how she said it, when she said it, I think is where some of the angst is from. You know,
yeah. This is what happens when you put a microphone. This used to happen in boxing every other week, where they would put the mic in front of the winner's face, and he just got done with a title match. Just got done,
right?
You know, and of course he's not talking like Shakespeare. Like, you know, this guy. And I don't think it's any different with athletes just getting done watching a game that they wish they were out there playing. Because don't tell me every one of these former athletes watching these, I don't care how far removed they are from the game, that part never changes. Mm-hmm. Anybody, I think that a lot of us can relate to that. I have a hard time watching plays. I do not like admitting this, but I have a hard time watching live theater because I want to be on that stage so badly that I'm worried I'm going to actually make a fool of myself and walk up on a stage. I wish I was kidding. I really do. I wish this was for comedic purposes, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the same thing, but mm-hmm. it is similar to it. What was on your mind today?
Well, I kind of want to chime into what Seth was going to bring up. I know you got some guests coming on here, but about the injuries. I know we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, for the past couple of years with the playmakers and stuff, and it just comes down to is quit teaching these kids how to throw a curveball at the age of 10, at the age of 11. Let these kids' arms progress and let them grow, let them get better, and quit putting them out there. Quit playing baseball year-round, just like playing hockey and soccer. Quit playing these sports year-round and having these coaches say, well, if you don't show up for this game, you're not going to play anymore. Or show up for this practice, you're not going to get to play in time this week. Mm-hmm. It's to the point where it's wake up and see what's going on and what's happening to these young. I mean, then really, if you think back, did Nolan Ryan, did some of those older pitchers have the arm issues like these kids are having nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you watch the Little League World Series. These kids are throwing curveballs at the age of 12. There should be no reason for that.
Right.
I remember I had a Little League coach when I played. He goes, I see you throw a curveball. You're not going to pitch ever again. You know, you're just going to play the field. I'm not going to put up with this. He's like, you guys aren't ready to throw curveballs and all that stuff. And he taught us how to pitch, you know, throw fastballs or, you know, and work the edges, you know, change up your speed.
Well, work on control first. How about that? You know, not trying to throw like 80 miles an hour when you're 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you said, throw a curveball. Yeah. Why don't you work on just the fundamentals? How do you, you know, make the ball go where you want it to go, right?
Right. They have all the science on football and concussions and all this stuff. Why don't they start looking at the science on throwing motions?
Yeah, I think that's going to start coming out real soon. Mm-hmm. I think because of the rash that we've seen of such high profile pitchers right now, I think that's probably going to do it. And the absolutely asinine statement by the Players Association
it. Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. I just totally blew my mind
that
they said it's because of the pitch clock. What? Excuse me? Oh, they are. You know, I'm like James. I'm usually on the side of the players, and I still am on the side of the players because I don't want them to get hurt. But when the Players Association says just ridiculous things like this, come on, they're only hurting themselves in the end.
Yeah.
And I don't see where the pitch clock has anything to do with their arm. It's just the fact is that it starts at the age of. At the age of starting to throw a baseball, if you don't learn how to throw the ball properly, it's just going to hurt you in the end. And I don't get where the Players Association came up with that like you said.
I don't know either.
Comment. It just
we are going to
just.
Oh, go ahead, bud. Go ahead.
Oh, it's just everybody's just trying to posture. It's all it is. They're trying to make.
Yeah, it is. It is
something,
a lot.
And it's just.
Terrible hill to do it on.
I look forward to getting into this more in a little bit because I do want to come back to this one. So we're gonna mark our page. We're gonna bend it. We're gonna bend it. We're gonna ear bend
it. Do a little
it.
on the page there, right?
And we'll come back to it. You welcome the call back, brother. Welcome the call back, and thank you always for the call. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the calls coming, everybody. But not right now. We are waiting on a call.
We're waiting on a call. Yeah.
I don't believe that we have like call waiting. Or
we
anything.
Don't really.
So,
no.
So we kind of have to keep the lines open a little bit for John to be able to call in to us. And
right,
everything.
Right, but right.
We are looking forward to talking with John Adias. He is with the Wisconsin Badgers. He's an announcer with them, and looking forward to that. I wanted to get into what you guys were talking about there, but I don't want to get going.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
And get too far into that and everything. It does seem like, though, that they are it's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to I would never, ever, under any circumstances, try to defend Rob Manfred. Under almost anything.
I'm with you 100%.
Or a lot of people in these situations, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I could see how it's such a big problem that focusing on what you can do. And you could do things in MLB. You can't do anything on a high school level. You can't do anything on a college level. Bringing it up.
Yeah.
That but like I'm saying this as if you were like in a room, just you and your colleagues talking about it, mm-hmm. not coming out with a statement about it to the masses. Like that's completely different.
Right.
That you know, it's one thing talking and spitballing with each other. Yes. Like, hey, do you think it might be this? I have no problem with that. But like to actually, you know what? We don't really have any evidence on this. We've got like a year's worth of data. But we're just going to go ahead and say this.
Well, and the way they opened it was we just stick with the player side for right now. Now, the way they opened the statement, the universally, about the pitch clock, they said it was universally panned by the what?
Yeah, yeah.
The Players Association could have gone out there last year and said, no, we're not playing. We're going to do whatever. You know, we do not agree to these rules. But they did. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to go because it was a change to the collective bargaining agreement. And every time you do that, the players have to sign off on it.
Yeah.
And they did. I mean, yeah, some players grumbled about it at the beginning of the year. And then what happened? No one said anything.
Yeah.
After that, no one said a word about it. So that's part of the problem with the statement, saying that all of a sudden the pitch clock is the reason for no. Because there's a wealth of information that we have. There's been people who have been looking into this for a while now because they want to know. And we can get into that later. But it's really sad to see that.
On a large scale level, and I understand that's my approach to this, but I think part of the problem is the presentation of sports.
Mm.
On a professional level, I'm talking about. Not any other level, but on a professional level. Because we're taught in grade school, in high school, junior high school, all this, play for the love of the game, play for the love of the game, play for the love of the game.
Mm-hmm.
College gets a little bit different. You want to win championships. You want to win trophies. You want to win these things and stuff. Not
maybe
to say
get
you
to the pros, right?
Yeah, not to say you don't in high school, but this becomes a little bit more of the detail and everything. And then you get to the pros. And, business. Mm-hmm. Business, 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 business.
True, true.
Loyalty only matters when your contract's up and we need you to play for cheaper. That's it. That's the only anytime anybody brings up loyalty and everything. If a player gets cut or traded or whatever, nobody ever says the franchise. Every once in a while, maybe you hear a franchise should have been loyal to a player, but that dies pretty quick. So our approach to sports is confusing for, I would think, anybody walking into it. Like everything's
very
about
confusing.
Everything building up to it. The whole entire idea of sports is you're going to get good at this level so you can move on to the next.
Right.
Get good at this level to move on to the next. We're doing that with everything, the mental part of the game and the actual physical part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into the aspect of, oh, yeah, by the way, it's a business. This is your job now. Forget about love of the game. I don't care if you love the game. Ask how many owners care if their players love the game or they're paying them to love the game. They're paying them to get out there and play, perform. Look at the word we even use for it. Perform,
yep.
Like performing. An entertainer, like an actor, like something like a musician.
So people will come and watch them and pay for the privilege to do it. So that's why they're doing it.
So whether it's football telling me in one side that they care about player safety and on the other adding an extra week, or it's the Players Association in baseball saying it's a pitch clock issue and not actually what you and our caller were talking, Kevin were talking about there, this speaks to the art of the business. It keeps the wheels moving.
Yep.
If we say it's a bigger problem on the football issue, well, we've got a lot of work to do on this. We don't know how to fix Pitt football. You know what? We're going to have to take a break. No football for a while until we fix this.
Yeah, right. Yes.
I just even
possibly the most ridiculous statement you've ever had, yeah, right, yeah, there, you, yeah, know?
it's no different with,
nope,
baseball.
That's true.
You know what? We don't understand what's happening to these arms. This is an epidemic. We got to shut this down.
Imagine if
they,
you
don't care about that stuff. They care about the business.
Yeah.
And so that approach, we approach it as fans because we love the, right, game. They're not playing the same game, no, we are.
Imagine if you go to the owners, Rob Manfred, and say, hey, Rob, you know, we've added all these extra playoff levels to baseball. You know, maybe we should shorten the season.
Yeah,
to 154, yeah, games, like it used to be way back in the day, from 162, mm-hmm, to 154. How about that? Maybe would that work? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Those extra days of revenue for the owners? Forget it.
You would be fired. You would be maybe even tar and feathered. Even that. You know?
They have no problem adding more, but man, yeah, when you think about what that does to the players' bodies, it's like, oh my gosh. And that could be one of the reasons there aren't guys who pitch 200 innings anymore.
You know, it's interesting. You and Kevin were talking, and, mm-hmm, I was reminded of a couple of really good interviews. And I'm going to reference PTI again, and they owe me money.
They
really do. I mentioned it too much. But Kornheiser and Wilbon are not only really good at what they do, they're great interviewers, and they're great, mm-hmm, teammates as interviewers. And they had on a couple of times, but I'm just thinking of the latest interviews they had with Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer,
mm,
and them talking about this. Mm-hmm. And both those guys are adamant about playing multiple sports. Don't just focus on one sport. You want your kids to keep busy. You want your kids to keep active, all, yep, that. But you don't want them to play the same sport over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, they like baseball. Pick up a soccer ball. Use, mm-hmm, your legs and
use
not just your arm.
Use a different part of your body.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what really worked for them. I feel like right now these are bad examples as they, mm-hmm, are both out of the DL, but, right, they're also both, you know, up there in age and everything.
Right, right.
They've had even a guy like, you can make an argument, even though if you want to throw back at me, Justin Verlander's had Tommy John. I will throw at you the Cy Youngs in the World Series that he has won since then.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is a lot to be said, right, for that part of it too. There's no way, though, whatever the solution is, that it's one thing. That, oh, no, if we do this, everything will be better.
Right.
Like,
right,
there's no way that it's,
no,
something like that.
No. And one of the troubling things that I read about this whole kerfuffle about with injuries and everything, what Major League Baseball responded, of course, to what the players released. And they said, well, look at all this data, which is correct. Again, I hate to side with them, but they're right, yeah, on this. And they, I saw a quote from Dr. James Andrews. Dr. James Andrews is the man who pioneered Tommy John surgery, the ligament replacement in their arm, the UCL, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he said when they first started this in the 80s and stuff like that, they would get a handful, teenagers that would do it that did something to them. You think there's a lot of Tommy John surgeries going on in the majors right now?
Mm-hmm.
High schoolers make up the majority.
Yeah.
High schoolers.
Yeah.
A majority. That is insane. He said they should not be throwing 80 miles. Do you know when the UCL matures in the human body? At the age of 26.
Whoa. That really shocked
26.
Me. Wow. Huh. I never heard that before.
They're doing this stuff to it when they're – no wonder. No wonder. It's been building and building and building and building because they keep wanting to throw. Wow. In order to make it in baseball today, you got to throw 95 and up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's putting a strain on your arm. And you're doing
insane.
It year-round.
Man, that's going to stay with me.
Pitchers,
that's interesting,
now are going to specialty schools in the offseason. Driveline is probably the most famous. Okay, these are owned and operated, mm-hmm, by former players.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, they add a couple of miles per hour to their fastball, but what is it doing to their arm? And that's, you know, already an unnatural motion.
They what also aggravates me with all this, Seth, is we already had the perfect tool for kids to learn baseball. It was Fred McGriff. It was the crime. Do you remember that commercial? And you too can play baseball.
The worst actor ever. I love Fred McGriff, but man, he was terrible.
Yeah. I love Fred McGriff. Very happy he's in the Hall of Fame.
Me too.
But yeah, that was a horrible commercial. Here's the thing too, and this is nothing against our great caller Kevin. You, yep, one of my favorite minds there is that I've met. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I say that. It isn't as if we just thought of stuff out of the blue. You know, and like we're the first ones that they know this stuff.
They do.
They have to be hearing some of this stuff. And the fact that they're kind of dragging their feet on it, I don't know what that tells you, but it tells you a lot. You just got to read between the lines on it. I'd like to see some change. I'd like to see some better comments on it. Okay, say you're not going to make a change right now or do something about this right now. Because this isn't something. The other part that we're not talking about with this, too, is it is a little bit of telling parents what to do with their kids. Mm-hmm. And nobody has ever won any PR run doing that.
Right.
So I don't think, and I know that none of us are trying to do that.
No.
But I do think that there's an underline of that, of why isn't this being talked about more? Why is it more being done?
Right.
Rob Manfred's probably, even as unpopular as he is, and he has got to have one of the worst publicists of all time. Or one of the most hardworking ones, at least. I don't know. But as bad as that is, even he's not going to come out and say, hey, parents, stop doing this.
Yeah.
I would like to see parents do that just as a society. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about this on the way in here, and they're talking about Caitlin Clark. Is she the GOAT? And the big argument, if she is not the GOAT, is she hasn't won a championship. And thinking about how when in society we got to a point of the only way you could be considered great, true great, is it by winning. And I was thinking of how growing up there was a lot of people making fun of the generation getting everybody gets a trophy generation. And I'm thinking about that generation now. And all they care about is winning. All they care about is championships. So for one, that didn't work. And two, because it was around before that, and it's even around now. Mm-hmm. And in that generation has taken it to a whole other level. Of now, you could be Caitlin Clark. You could be like have records, and all of us have seen your greatness. And still, yeah, but did she win? But she won a Big Ten championship. But she won that. No. Did she win? That's what it always comes back to. So that's an interesting part of this too. When you're thinking about,
I'm with you. Yeah,
kids and sports and this drive to throw 95 at 13 and all these things.
Yeah,
all of this plays into it. I think. And it comes back to, hey, parents, how are you going to parent your kids?
Right.
Are you parenting them because you're living vicariously through them because you didn't get the chance to play in the big leagues or something? Or are you, hey, Johnny, I know you love baseball, but please pick up a soccer ball if you really love that sport.
Right.
Like, this is the way to stay around in that sport.
These are conversations we know that families are having, especially when it comes to football and the concussion risk. People are saying, you know, they're sitting down and saying, okay, this is what it is. Okay, I know you want to play, but these are the risks. These are what's going to happen kind of thing. We are concerned. Your parents are concerned about what's going to happen to you if you decide to keep playing this game. And those are hard conversations, but they're important ones. And I think that's kind of where we're headed with a lot of this stuff. Now, to be fair, concussions are a lot worse than, you know, a tendon in your arm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's put this in perspective. But at the same time, it's still – you know, it's just part and parcel to the whole package that we got here.
A career can end from a concussion as much as an UCL or something.
Absolutely.
So I think they are kind of, you know, fair to put in the same category and to some degree with the context.
Right.
All of this, too, being said, coming back to the business part of this, the machine is just going to keep running and keep moving.
Yep.
And it's just going to...
With the oil of the blood of the workers. Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. Nicely done. Nicely done. It is also going to be, as a sports fan, since nothing is going to be changing in the next this season here, I think it's going to be quite a wild year. If you're pulling all of these other things away and you're just as a sports fan watching baseball, we have no idea who is a good pitcher. I don't know who.
The good ones are out right now. Not all the good ones, but you know what I mean? A lot of the really top pitchers are out right now because of this same problem.
I think you're going to see some wild, this isn't a statement. This is not a take. This is a fact. Even without this, you would have it. But I do think you're going to be seeing even wilder no-hitters this year than usual.
It could be. You're right.
You know, guy who has never played in the pitched in the majors throwing hitter, no-hitters.
See a position player coming out and throwing
Right. Yeah. I think it might be interesting to see towards the end of the season or even, the All-Star break. Bring this question back come the All-Star break. Are the batting stats through the roof?
Mm.
Because we're not
with
seeing
the thinning
yet.
Of the pitcher. No, we haven't seen that yet.
We're seeing plenty of conversation about the pitching and the pitching not being that, and all these other things, or the pitchers that we know to be good not even playing if they can. But so far, haven't necessarily been seeing the ball leaving the yard that crazy.
Not really.
It is basically still winter for these guys. It is. I know. Technically, it is spring, but for a baseball
for
player,
baseball, it's a little on the chilly side.
You're playing in 40 degree weather. You might as well.
You're not
be,
used to that,
know,
right?
Yeah.
Like so all we'll the boys see. Of summer for a reason.
Yeah. We'll see where that goes. I'm curious. I know where we're going. To a break.
All right.
We will be back with more fun on the morning. I knew I was going to do that. It's not my fault. My guest didn't show up. So that's right. Actually, you know what? I'm not blaming the guest. The eclipse.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, perfect. I blame the eclipse, too.
We have a built-in excuse, all of us, today.
All day long.
Anything goes wrong today, you could just blame the eclipse. Really, you forgot to take the garbage out? Eclipse. We'll be back with more Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Pretty, getting your words out here, Wisconsin Rapids, WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Seth and James behind the mics. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. We will take the show any direction you want to go.
Yep.
You want to talk lacrosse, we will talk lacrosse. You want to talk curling, sure. I actually thought about that this weekend for the first time, really. I was thinking about curling. I was thinking about it.
Just as long as they don't want to bring up the White Sox. That's the only thing you want to talk
Anything
about.
Anything to avoid having to talk about the White Sox for me would be a good idea. Let's go ahead and get to the phone lines. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Well, sorry. Happy Groundhog's Day, James.
Hey, yes. Thank you.
We knew that. Something was happening today, right?
God, I love our listeners. I love you guys.
Make sure you're up on the right side of the bed. But you guys are going to be talking pitchers, and it got me thinking, why don't they teach kids how to throw the old-fashioned knuckleball?
Oh, you know what? That is something near and dear to my heart. I love the knuckleball. There needs to be more knuckleball pitchers. Yeah.
Tim Wakefield, Charlie Huff, R.A. Dickey.
Yep.
Great references.
Both Negroes threw a knuckleball, actually. Joe and Phil did. Yeah.
I love the idea of that replacing the fastball. Like the baseball goes that direction.
You have two pitches. You've got a fastball and a knuckleball.
That's all you need.
That's it. That's all you need, man. Oh, man.
Catchers would hate it. Yeah. Catchers would quit.
That actually leads into my next comment. Mm-hmm. This time of year always reminds me of Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
And Bob Uecker had 14 home runs in his career.
Huh. That's pretty good. Not bad, Uke.
He hit three home runs off of one of them was Gaylord Perry and Sandy Koufax and Fergie Jenkins.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
Wow.
Boy, that's a triumvirate to take out,
really,
man.
Is.
Nice.
That's so darn cool.
I'm really impressed by the Koufax one.
Well, three of them.
Yeah.
And I think he had something against some guy named Ray Sadecki because he hit two of them off of him.
Yeah.
Back when he played for the Giants. But,
knowing Uecker, he didn't after that.
No, he's probably happy about it.
Big fan of him after that. Probably really a big fan of him afterwards.
Another thing I'd like to implore you about, you mentioned Dr. James Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me thinking, about Bo Jackson. And I thought about Bo Jackson, and I thought, James is a big fan of Bo Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And a good thing to actually read is a book called Bo Knows Bo by, I think it was Dick Schaap.
Yep.
And Bo Jack.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Great Dick Schaap. Yep. Yeah, it's a really good book. Really good book.
Yeah.
It's one of the best sports books you'll ever read.
Yep.
That's my recommendation for the day, guys.
Very cool.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
You want to hear a quick stat of the show? Stat of the show.
Yeah, hit me up.
Don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble with the Dan Patrick show, though.
No,
the other 1,000 radio shows that do
a stat of the day thing.
Stat of the show thing. Yeah. But I thought this was an interesting one. LeBron James, in his first season, his first time playing against the Knicks, in the starting lineup for the Knicks, Charlie Ward and Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh my gosh.
That's how long LeBron's been playing.
Like, Charlie Ward, that's Florida State.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I heard that and I thought that was...
I remember Charlie Ward. I was a big fan of Charlie
Ward.
Oh,
me too, me too. I thought it was a shame that Charlie Ward has the career he has nowadays. He's a first-round pick in the NFL, not in NFL.
Sure. Yeah.
The fact that he didn't get a chance was always weird to me, but, you know, that was the game back then. One extra stat.
Chris Winkie happened.
Oh, geez, yeah, Chris Winkie was 27 doing that, I believe. 26 or 27 doing that at FSU. That was interesting. Then nowadays, yes, that's not going to be a big deal anymore, seeing a guy that age
playing. Yeah,
there's
guys like 25, 26 now in the, geez.
We're going to be seeing a lot more Van Wilders. We're going to be seeing a lot more those guys.
Johnny, wait, what was the Whitewater guy?
Grandma's boy.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, yes, Grandma's boy is another guy.
Ledecky, was that his name?
Yes,
Johnny Ledecky was at Whitewater or one of the Wisconsin schools there for like 20 some years. Yeah.
Thanks for the call, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Keep those calls coming, everybody. 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Listening on the Civic Media app, you're just a touch or two away, and thank you for downloading the app. One more extra fact for you. Bob Uecker hosted SNL. Hosted SNL back in 1984.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think that's just a fun fact.
That was right around Mr. Belvedere when he was doing the show. So,
good
actor, Bob Uecker, good actor.
He also hosted around a time when they had one of their more legendary casts. You know, Martin Short and a bunch of other greats on there.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Brewers, they are throwing Aaron Ashby up there on the mound for the first time this season against the Cincinnati Reds. Graham Ashcroft going in with an 0-1 record, 3 ERA. Should be a good one tonight.
I mean, speaking of to the point of Junis, now he's got another guy gone down. I mean, come on, jeez.
I would not buy stock of pitchers.
Not right now.
It's kind of hard to do. And it's kind of hard to get this far into a sports show and have not talked about the men's national championship game tonight.
Wait, what's that's tonight?
what John Calipari just did. Because what John Calipari just did is a game changer. Not so much for, it means that in the SEC and it means the power shift of Kentucky and Arkansas or something like that. Or, even in the standings in the next couple of seasons or recruiting. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about the quiet part being said out loud.
Mm.
That part. The idea of leaving a blue blood franchise. I'm going to start calling them.
You might as well, dude.
I don't know why we're bothering with the terminology anymore.
No,
they're franchises.
Let's stop it. Yeah.
It's a franchise. So
free agency. There's a signing bonus. I mean, it's basically the same thing. Why do we give it different name? I don't know. Anyway.
I'm not worrying about it anymore.
No, me neither.
I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there from now on. But you leave Kentucky for Arkansas. Like, that is unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
So you start looking reading between the lines and everything. And if this happens 20 years ago, maybe some good sports writers find some things out and connect some dots. But nowadays, within minutes, you know that John Calipari is great friends with a billionaire who happens to have Arkansas ties. And all of a sudden, things start clicking a little bit more. And then, you know, we've heard rumblings for the last couple of seasons that Kentucky fan base isn't happy with him. And that,
the all-powerful boosters, yeah.
Yeah, and these things. And there's such a... We saw this in football already with Nebraska. You know, Nebraska football, even right now, you go to a diehard Nebraska football fan and they will, with a straight face, tell you that they are college royalty, that they belong in the national championship game every year. You ask a Notre Dame fan that, same thing, same response. Now, I think the majority of us as college fans understand that is long gone.
That's in the past.
That is Harvard winning championships gone. Like,
back in 1911,
that
right?
That is Boston Celtics winning like 20 championships before you and I were ever born, and in our lifetimes we've seen them win one. You know, this is a difference of this happening, a shifting
Montreal
of the guard.
In the NHL.
Yes, a great example.
Mm-hmm.
But in college sports, it's so different because of the personal loyalties and everything, and the way we treat these teams, how like they're a part of us and everything. And what we're seeing is something that I don't think a lot of us have experienced in our lifetimes, a changing of the guard of what is a blue blood, and if it matters.
Mm.
I don't think that's the game changer to me. The idea of even though he's a billionaire, my friend over there in Arkansas, all this stuff, it might be tempting. Yeah, and the Kentucky fan base doesn't appreciate me and all this stuff and everything. Yeah, it's tempting, but it's Kentucky. I'm not leaving. You don't go down as a coach, you go up. If I'm leaving Kentucky, I'm leaving for the Celtics. I'm leaving for the Atlanta Hawks. I'm leaving for an MLB job. Mm-hmm. Even UCLA, speaking of teams that weren't what they were. Mm-hmm. Those things. That doesn't happen. So why does it happen? We hear those reasons. We see that. And that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a blue blood anymore.
Nope.
Your history means nothing. It means, now, to you as a fan, sure, I'm not making light of that. That certainly does. But I mean to the kid from out of state, the kid that you're trying to recruit, the kid that you're trying to pull in. Don't bother showing them the championships. That's what you used to do.
Yeah, it's a look. Yeah, exactly.
It's a great story of how Pat Riley finalized the deal with LeBron and Wade and Bosch. That he came into the meeting with his championship rings, put them on a table. That's all he did. That's it. And minutes later, they were signing the contract. Like that used to mean something. You used to be able to do that. Now you do that to a young athlete and like nice rings.
Yeah, nice.
Those are pretty.
What can
those
you offer me?
Hey, what does your jersey look like? Hey, what is this? How? What is that? Et cetera. What is the NIL reference? What is that? Blue blood means nothing now.
Yeah.
It means nothing anymore. And I just find that interesting. It's college sports is almost built on that.
Right.
Oh, you're never going to go to this franchise over this franchise because, well, my God, it's Alabama football.
Right.
It's, you know, why would you not play for Alabama and all this?
Right.
Well, now, why would I? I don't have to go to the, like, there's nothing in Tuscaloosa for me.
Yeah.
There's nothing there for me. NFL prospect this, NFL prospect that. I just saw a guy go, you know, even back in when we were kids, Randy Moss out of Marshall. Like, when's, you know, how many, Chad Pennington, there's been a couple, Byron Leftwich, there's a handful of guys. A
couple of guys came out of Marshall, right?
Didn't hurt Randy Moss. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He still had a great career. You know, don't bother with me telling me where he went in the draft and all that. He got drafted. That's what matters. He's mm-hmm. He got in the league. He got to prove himself in the league.
Yeah. Well, and it's I think maybe and this just occurred to me, and maybe you've already thought about this, but is this why we're moving towards the women's sports in college? Is this why there's suddenly this interest in them? It's been building. Yes, it has been building. But is it because it's the more traditional college type game? Look at basketball. So many people have commented on it. It's like, it's more, you know, fundamental. It's more blah, 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 blah. But is it, but there, I mean, now, but are we promote? Is it, are these stars happening organically or are we just promoting them now? Is that it? I mean, are we giving Caitlin Clark all this, all this spotlight? Because, yeah, well, she's great. Of course she is. There's been other great players before, and they have not gotten nearly the spotlight that she has.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a question. I don't know. I don't know
it's
the answer.
It's great points.
But it's like, wow, is that what's going on?
I also would like to apologize to you and the audience because we do share a brain. So real quick, everybody, the way that I had the show built in my head today, the outline, we are going to start with the Calipari stuff.
Yeah, right.
And I was going to lean into what you were just saying there, into women's college sports and the rise of that, and then have on the Wisconsin Women's Badgers announcer. It was going to be great. It was going to be such a great opening. It was going to be
plans.
Really good. It was going to take us to 3:30, and then we were going to have Coach on.
Yeah,
I had it all in my head.
It's the eclipse.
It's all the eclipse. I think that there is something there, what you're saying. I think that, and it speaks to something else we've talked about too, the difference of seeing a kid who I'm just learning his name and, oh, I remember her from 2 years ago, or I remember that. That's another big thing that
it's
we like
be,
in college sports. Sports is, unless you are playing it or you involved in it on a business level, sports is a hobby. It's a hobby in our heads. It's a fun thing. It's something that we care about on the side. We got a job to do. We got kids to raise. We got this. We got that. We got other things in our lives going on. Sports is that break. Sports is that thing for many of us.
Mm-hmm.
For many. I'm not saying everybody, but for many.
Yeah, right.
With that, you only have so much bandwidth. So you got to have it quick. It's got to be quick, and it's got to be good information. It's got to be right away. And we can, and in our heads, I'm not talking about what the information we're taking in, but in our heads when we're thinking about these things, when we're balancing the time we're going to spend on them or anything like that. So I think that plays into it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a part of it with that.
Yeah, they're all going for that same piece of the pie. I mean, there's only so many people, and there's only so much time.
Yeah.
And then that's the value here is how much time is getting on the air, how much time is getting, you know, talking about it on sports shows like this or whatever, you know. That's the main value here is the time.
I don't want to have to learn new names. Give me the Caitlin Clarks. Give me the names I'm already familiar with. Give me the teams I'm already familiar with. All right, let's go.
But, yeah,
you know, men's game is it used to be the opposite, where women's athletics has been on a slow build for decades.
Yes,
if you've been paying attention for decades, the NBA sure has. They put they lose money every day on the WNBA. They don't care. Well, I'm sure they care, but they're going to keep doing it because
they're not going to stop. In other words, yeah.
Look at what it's done. Look at what it's helping. You know, it's amazing. It's incredible. One of the best investments in sports history is what the NBA has done there, and nobody talks about it.
Right,
but it is a very cool thing to see. With now it's shifting, as we all see in our real time here and everything. And I think a big part of it is that it's bandwidth. We only have so much thought.
Yep.
So you're asking me what team I'm going to root for next year? The one I know.
Yeah.
You know, that
makes sense, right? Yeah.
It's where it usually goes.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, did you happen to catch the eclipse?
Oh, no.
No, it was all covered up here. Yeah.
We're covered up and working.
That's really too bad because it's the first good shot at the moon since 2004 when the Vikings played the Packers at Lambeau Field.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a great shot they had on that game.
Yes,
that was. I'll never forget that. I don't remember anything else about the game.
Who cares about the game?
No, no.
But a great shot of the moon, though.
That's a great shot of the moon. That's a great reference, Matt. Great reference. Appreciate you. Best listeners in the
radio. Oh, man.
I wanted to get to this stat when we were talking about pitchers.
Sure.
Average game time increased 14 minutes from late 1990s to 2021 and 2022, while pitcher injuries skyrocketed from a combined 11,668 IL days in 95 and 299 to 31,000 days in 2023.
Yep. I saw that stat, and that was, very telling. Very telling.
It gets back to a lot of what we were saying before, and I thought that would kind of put a bow, not bow on it. We're never going to stop talking about that, at least until it gets fixed. But for this hour, for this conversation. I meant to get that in there earlier. We're going to get to one more break we've got to do here.
Okay.
And we will do that. We'll come back, take care of our partners, and have some fun with that. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show and get some more conversation. I want to talk about those prop bets a little bit with the laws going on with that and some more on Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Big thank you to our friends over at Quality Plus Printing sponsoring the hour. Thank you so much to Phil and the gang over there. Looking forward to talking with you Wednesday, Phil.
Yeah.
We are looking forward to talking with you to the top of the hour. We'll have the show. Go ahead and ring us up, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Looking forward to it. I want to talk a little bit about free agency.
But not
free agency like we know it as far as with players. What if teams could be free agents?
Oh, boy.
The Kansas City Royals and Kansas City Chiefs are in an interesting situation right now where the most recent vote went in, and that city is not paying for a new franchise or new stadium. They're not paying for it.
Nope.
We've had a similar thing here in Milwaukee with the Brewers. Mm-hmm. We see what's going on with the Oakland A's, right? I'm sorry, the Sacramento A's. No, wait, no. The Las Vegas A's. I don't know. What's the newest update? Where's Oakland? The Athletics.
The Athletics.
We see with the Athletics. So this is an interesting thing as well in sports going on right now. Again, going back to the business end of sports and you know, hey, we care about you. We love your fan base. You're the best fan base in sports. They're offering us what over there?
Yep.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Did Art Modell do it right by at least doing it where it was the dead of night? We've always given Art Modell a hard time for that.
Right.
He's one of the great villains of sports for doing that.
Although, to be fair, he moved into Baltimore from Cleveland. It was, Ursae moved from Baltimore, and he's the one that did it in the middle of the night. Art Modell is still a jerk.
Yes, absolutely.
Still a jerk.
I'm apologizing about that part of his jerk.
Jerky for other reasons.
Yeah, you've got Oakland that's going to be playing in front of 20 people. Now, they're already playing in front of 20 people, you say. The players, though, the Oakland facility and what we ask of athletes, the business of the sport while telling you to love the game, not just the players, but us as fans. Love the game. Forget about the prices. Yes, the prices are going up, but don't you love the game? This is crazy. This is insane, but love the game. Controversy. A referee, an umpire doesn't do a right call, but love the game. And now it's down to jerseys. It's even that where they're even like trying to lie. They're lying to us about that now. We're performance wear. We've got to test it out.
Oh, God.
Worst. Like it looks. If your child went out there in a high school uniform like that, you'd be ashamed. Let alone what's going on.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. The River Kings uniforms will look a heck of a lot better than the Major League uniforms this year.
Oh yeah.
Unless they buy them from the same place, which I hope to God they don't.
You mean Rafters?
I meant the Rafters.
No, River Kings and Rafters jerseys look a lot better. I got one of them in front of me right now, and it looks a lot better condition than what they're playing in. That is it. And it's
embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, and it's such a smack in the face. Ugh. Because, again, all the information's out there nowadays. Mm-hmm. We know what it would cost to sell these, bring in new ones and everything. And Nike, who prints money, is telling you, no,
these will work. Fanatics, these will be fine.
Fanatics, that is not that far from Nike as far as making money. No, we don't care. We know it'd be more money. We know.
Did you know that Fanatics owns Topps Baseball?
That's weird. It's weird.
It makes me just ugh. Anyway, yeah, sorry. That was a sidetrack thing.
No, but I hear you.
I think I would put more of the blame on Nike on this one, because Fanatics has been doing it for a few years, and they've been doing all right. Yeah. Whatever happened this year was just – it's a colossal failure, and it's a mess. And I mean, it's distracting. You look at the players and they're covered in sweat. It's like, I don't want to see that.
It's nasty. It's nasty, man.
I don't want to see my own sweat. Yeah. I don't want to see theirs.
And keep in mind, we've got nothing but like 5K like definition nowadays and everything.
We can see every little damp spot on there.
I don't love baseball that much. I don't need to see that. I'll listen to it on the radio.
Yeah, that's right.
Here on Civic Media formats and stuff. Yeah. One of the things that I also find interesting about that part with the jerseys and with Oakland's playing in Sacramento, for those that don't know, Oakland announced recently that they're going to be playing in Sacramento for the
next 3 years.
For 3 years.
Possibly four.
Just to move a team it's such a business.
I'm
an adult. I get that. I understand. But it's the constant reminder of it while lying to you from the other side of their mouth to love the game.
Yeah.
How about you love the game?
How about you love the reason you're making money? Love your players. I mean, you pay them a lot, but still, I mean, you could treat them like humans. Man,
I'm wondering if there's ever going to be any pushback of that too with the jersey thing. I'm curious to see.
I hope so.
Or even a location thing. Okay. Like even that.
And the player. So I give the players credit on this one. They were right. Mm. They were right about the uniforms. They said it. Right. These are horrible. Except for the ones that were sponsored by Nike. I think that was hilarious. Yeah. But they were right. And then we see it. It's like, whoa. But they have no choice, man. They got to play with what they got. That's what they're given.
I wonder, with the rise of employees getting more and more power in the workforce, I wonder if we'll see any of that in sports ever. I don't think we will.
No.
But I'm curious. And with that, I've kind of heard a lot of rumblings over the last couple of years about draft in the NFL and really in sports in general. And the idea that in everything, especially in this country, you go to school, and if you're an attorney and you basically, before you're even out of school, the top schools and the top firms in the country are coming after you.
Yes, right.
They're recruiting you. In sports, you get grabbed. You're going to the team. You're going to play in Arkansas. Yep. That's just where you're playing now and everything. The idea of pushing back on that. I'm curious because as somebody who loves drafts and all of that, I know that I have a bias towards it. And I'm curious to see what changes with that going forward, as long as it doesn't happen this year when my team has the first pick. Because that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? It comes down to
it's
your
personal
feelings.
It's funny that you do. Exactly. You know? It does.
I wonder how I'd feel if that wasn't the case.
Do you know why the drafts were instituted? Do you have do people understand why they were instituted?
I'm not sure.
It was because it was to keep the owners from spending too much money on players. They were used to call bonus babies. Mm-hmm. So you'd have a really good player come out of college, you'd pay him a big bonus, you know, and there'd be bidding wars on these guys. Mm-hmm. And the owners, because they can't help themselves. Yeah. They literally have to find ways to keep them from spending money, which is hilarious, considering the way they you know scrimp on the other things.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they did that. So it's like, oh, we got to protect ourselves from spending too much money. Let's do a draft instead.
Jeez. Only with human beings would you have like laws to keep us from doing things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
that's quite interesting. It has been a really interesting show. I got to thank you, Seth. We had to improv a lot today. I appreciate that. And you guys out there helping keeping the show moving.
Yeah,
thank you to the best listeners in radio. Appreciate all of you. Of course, a gigantic thank you to Quality Post Printing, sponsoring the hour. Big thank you to them. We got more sports coming up, everybody. Mm-hmm. A little bit later, actually, like in 20 minutes.
In 20 minutes.
We've got WIRI. Be sure to join us on over on 105.5 Pittsville at Nakusa Baseball. Mike and Seth going to be running that one.
Yep.
Tomorrow,
please don't rain. Please.
Yeah, here's hoping. Tomorrow on WFHR at 6 o'clock, our tip-off will be for Bucks hosting Boston. God, that's a big game.
That's a big game.
On Wednesday, more Bucks basketball as they host Orlando, and more throughout the week. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to taking some of your phone calls next week with more playmakers. Be sure to meet us back here and spread the word about the show, everybody.
Yeah.
We want to get this show bigger and bigger. We can do that with all of your help.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Have yourselves a great day. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.